Aventinos podcast, show number 4, season 3. My name is Anthony Tormacchio. My co-host is Mark Fiorenti, and some other bloke just rolled in like he's just come back from some sort of vacation.
Looks familiar. I can't remember his name, though.
Yeah, well, you were waiting to see certain things about this man.
I tipped he might look different. He looks different. He's
yes.
He sounds different.
You know, it's a mangiare, you know. Come on. Sing.
It looks like a human cassava.
It's like a big pizza pie. That's amore. Dam a mangiare. Yes, it's Riccardo Santamangiari.
Santamangiari.
I come back, Grish, grandi, no? Mangia di cassata, cannoli, you know, rigatoni.
I was going to say the man, the myth, and also the man behind the cannoli.
Cannoli. Yes, I was sexually assaulted by cannolis, cassatas.
Resuscitated by them.
Cornetto, crema. The limoncellos. What else?
I think you need to tell our listeners, in case they don't know all of those delicacies.
Yeah. So basically, I did a food porn trip of Sicily and Puglia this time.
Southern Italy
and Puglia as well. May I say,
Puglia is a region of Italy.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the Adriatic side.
It sounds somewhat rude.
Yeah, I know. But all I can say to our listeners, it is a must to do. Yeah, so highlights would be probably, I think I should have a little section each week of what part I did. Just, you know, a little couple of minutes here and there, just to talk about what I did.
And your favourite dish from
that
town or city.
Yeah.
And you can just go in chronological order of your trip.
Yeah, so
so you can start tonight.
Lipari? Mum's Island.
Mum's Island.
Yeah, so what can I say about Lipari? Lipari is like going back in time in Italy. Like, everything's slow motion.
And that's
no one gives a shit.
That's most of Italy anyway.
Isn't that like
so this
most
is,
of Italy? No
this, it's primitive. Hang on, guys.
This is Back to the Future.
No. Let me explain why it's primitive and Back to the Future. You know
back
why?
Back to the Future.
When you got to go for number twos, and you go to the toilet, you don't flush the toilet paper down in the toilet. You've got to wipe yourself and put it in a bucket, another bin.
Is it a toilet or is it one of those?
Bidet?
That's it. I was going to say.
Okay. Can I tell you what I did one night? So the night I went and watched Juventus play at the Lipari, Milazzo Lipari Juventus fan club, I got a bit tipsy, a bit too drunk. I actually hang a piss in a bidet. I thought it was the toilet. So I hang a piss in it and
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, though.
No?
Yeah. For me, it's another toilet.
Bidet. They're called bidet.
Sort of looks like a toilet.
Yeah. So basically, you got the paper that I don't like you to put it down.
They probably...
That's not too bad. That's
primitive.
But it's good for the environment.
Is it?
I would have thought so. You know, because not ruining the drainage system, clogging it up and the like. What about the effects on the nose?
Well, that's the problem, especially after a big night on the, Tagliatella, Pescatori's and stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, yes.
You know what the thing is, right? I grew up with a bidet, right?
Yep.
Or bidet, or whichever way you want to say it.
Bidet.
I used to say...
Bidet.
I used to say bidet, right? We had one, and it was... In the second, we had two bathrooms, so it was in the upstairs bathroom. They are either used all the time or they're like that room in an ethnic home that never gets used.
Yeah, like the second living room.
I have no idea.
Not even you as a child.
It's like a monument.
Yeah, it's a monument.
I have no idea whether it got used, but let me just tell you something. It was next to the toilet. So, that doesn't make sense, does it?
It was polished. Sunglasses. You need to look at it.
I almost feel that my parents got it just because they probably grew up with one.
Yeah.
And thought that we do too. It's a question I'll have to get back to you with.
But can
I've
I just say...
To keep up with the Joneses, did they also have the lions at the front?
No. Not at all.
The lions.
No lions.
It's like really? The Rome, the Roman soldiers. Yes, no Caesar's arrived.
No lions.
So insane about Libri. Fantastic. There's a place called Mangia and Fiore.
Yeah.
Arancini to die for. Okay.
Where was this in Lipari?
In Lipari. There's a place called Food Porn, which Steve Vai had on his Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Food actually, Porn?
Food Porn Lipari. Great place to go
I knew we should have copyrighted our WhatsApp group.
Oh, mate, I reckon. Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. That it's called Food like Porn. Yeah.
We've got a WhatsApp group for our listeners called Italian Food Porn.
But that might, that we might still be able to do that if this is just Food Porn.
Yeah. And
that's the generic version of what we've got. We're specific.
So basically, I ate at a Michelin star restaurant called Filipinos. It was actually since 1910 this restaurant's been going for.
Wow, and in Lipari?
In Lipari. Honest truth is, not just saying because it's Lipari, but it was fantastic food. And it wasn't expensive. That's what I was surprised, being a Michelin star restaurant. It wasn't really expensive. So
seafood, I'm guessing, being the main
So red snapper, filleted with your tomatoes, your capers and all that, with nice Mount Etna olive oil. I've got to say, guys, I could drink the stuff. That's how nice this olive oil was. It had a bit of a spicy thing to it.
Yeah.
And the wine from Salina. White wines are not really that big, but we had a bottle of white wine. It was really good.
Mm-mm.
So between that and then I had the prawn and lobster ravioli.
Oh, yum.
Fantastic.
That sounds awesome.
And then we had a bit of everything. So that restaurant was very nice. I highly recommend it if you're over there. Then we went for a boat ride to Stromboli. Great. So we got to spend a day there, feel the island. Basically, the volcano was talking. You can hear it go... You like the energy. And I had my best pizza. So, sorry, Michele.
Ooh,
the pizza was fantastic. It was amazing.
Well, what
sort of toppings?
I had a margarita. Mm-hmm. Margarita. Mm-hmm. And I had one with different kinds of meats and stuff. One they do themselves there.
It was meat lovers.
Similar meat, but a sauce base. No,
barbecue sauce.
With or without pineapple?
No pineapple. But no, honest truth is, the way the cheese, they fly it in from Naples, so they get it sent over to the islands. But the way they did the pizza, the taste of it was so different. It was something like, I could eat the cardboard box.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
That's how nice it was.
They flew in the pineapple from the Bahamas.
Oh, mate.
The closest, well... At the moment, here in South Yarra, we're getting close to 10 p.m. We're probably going to be done, packed up by 11 p.m.
Sorry.
Michelin star restaurant around here will be Chipelli's.
Chipelli's or Lamb's on Did that you say it's close? Is it close?
Yeah, on a Monday night it is.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it's close. But look...
Chipelli's is the closest we've got. It's either that or McDonald's.
That's pretty much 24 hours, Chipelli, isn't it? Or almost around the clock, regardless of the day of the week.
So, in saying that, spent 8 days on the island, and I'm looking forward to go back. I've got a lot of friends there. Caught up with the Juventus fan club, Malazzo/Lipari there. Watched.
Which game was that? The Lazio game?
No, it wasn't Lazio. No,
you were there before, before then.
I think it was. I've got to try and remember here.
Empoli.
Yes.
Yeah.
Empoli game. Yeah. Hospitality was amazing. They went out of their way. We all got blind drunk, as you usually do, with getting. Together with the family, Juventus family. But look, it was fantastic. So highly recommend it. Canetto is a very nice place to stay on Lipari, and looking forward to go back next year. So my next part next week, I'll probably mention Cefalù.
Cefalù,
you've got to go in the
great
order.
Little town.
Yeah.
You have to do it in the order. Yeah.
Yes.
So I made those rules. It's your segment, but I made the rules.
Special mention.
I want to do a journey from start to finish. I don't want any of this.
Do you want the highlights and the lowlights?
But it wasn't as good as this place, but we haven't spoken
about
it.
Of Lipari now?
Yeah. Highlights
is I felt like I was home. Internally, my spirit, I felt like I was connected to the place.
Of course, because of mum.
But also the people, the way they were. And half of Melbourne and half of Sydney live... Or go there.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
So it's like you don't leave your mother or Australia.
So it's like Rye.
Yeah.
And Sorrento.
Sorrento. Yeah. The low light would be.
Was the HSF Commodore burning up and down the main drag?
Don't laugh because there was an Opel Commodore
Falcon XD.
No, it was an Opel Commodore there, VC and VB.
So.
I'm not joking, you, Commodore.
Was it Berlusconi with the 90s AC Milan top in the front?
Oh, the fluffy dice hanging off the roof.
Guys, I saw cars. I didn't even know how these cars were still going. They'll fall. Like the noises, that they look like half-rusted buckets.
So basically you're telling me that you flew 24 hours to Liberty when you could have just maybe...
driven 1.5 hours
to Mornington
Peninsula. 1.5, let's say Broad
Meadows, the back streets of Broad Meadows.
You could have just gone to the Mornington Peninsula in
could have. So my low light would be... I think I would say I'm not happy with the way they are, where they don't give a shit, where they should give a shit.
But is such this a beautiful place. Is that in Liberty?
They don't look after what they've got.
Yeah.
And this is in Liberty.
Liberty, and then I'll tell you in future podcasts about other places that I really was blown away that, you know, what I saw. But look, it's saying that food, the company, the beaches, the people – was good. It was very good. They were very hospitality, and I'm looking forward to my next time going back.
Photos looked amazing, I've got to say.
Yeah.
So we are on a WhatsApp group called Italian Food Porn, the three of us amongst others, and the Cardador was almost hourly sending us photos of food to die
people
for.
People were getting upset that I was doing that too.
Yeah, I was.
Far out, man.
I'll play some front foot cricket. Yeah, I was very envious.
One message from one of the guys was, I'm actually jealous, Ricardo, that you're over there. You know, stop sitting. I was just laughing there. But look.
Yeah, then you got me into more trouble, though. So someone did say, send something different. Send some other photos, something other than food. And you sent some photos of a beautiful beach with some extras by that beach, say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I happen to look and admire that photo while sitting on the couch with my 5-year-old daughter.
Shit.
And she said, Daddy, what's that you're looking at? And I said,
it was the
my friend is in Italy at the moment. And he knows that Daddy loves beaches.
That's it. Not beaches, beaches.
Not the Alessandro Del Piero version of beaches.
Beaches.
Sorry. And she said, so why? And I said, he's very inconsiderate, isn't he? He sport the photo of that beach with three beautiful young women in it. Yeah. Needless to say, the kids didn't need to get read Pinocchio that night because I just did it there and then for them.
So that was my Lipari experience. Next week I'll be talking about Chifolo. So
we will be selling those photos on our Only Cannolis fan page.
Hey, and just a quick mention, Steve Vai, the legendary guitarist from the States. He's been with so many great bands, and he's probably one of the best guitarists on the planet today.
Phenomenal.
Was there when I was there.
He's got an Italian background, hasn't he?
He must have.
I think he
must have. And he was actually at the food porn shop and went to Stromboli, saw the volcano go, which I saw, and I got video of, which was mind-blowing to see that in real life. So he was there. And when we see him in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to have a sign-up going, I saw you in Liberty. And see what happens. Let's get into Serie A.
Yeah, I was going to say we've come to the end of the show. You can catch us on Anchor Spotify.
Hey, can you tell our listeners what I brought in tonight? Did I bring some cannolis? Hey, I didn't forget about the guys on the podcast. I brought some cannolis tonight.
They were a week old, but they were very crunchy.
They were in a suitcase on the way over from Dubai. 40-degree heat, so a bit mouldy in the sides. But guys,
I thought they were pistachio flavored. So the green wasn't pistachio.
You know what? I nearly bought pistachio aftershave, you believe it? Cologne.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. But I bought basil and lemon cologne.
Put that on your nuts.
Welcome back.
There's the opening segment for possibly the next, for most of the year, I'd say. You'll probably nearly fill out.
Yeah.
You will at least get to Christmas.
Yeah. Hopefully we make it to Christmas. We've got a 10-year anniversary party, mate. I tell you what, guys, this is going to be a legend. It will be a legendary night. Well, I have planned for the boys.
Just over 30 days.
Which you guys don't know what I've got. There's a surprise. You're going to freak.
It's Steve Vai.
Guys.
Making us cannolis.
Well, he's touring like 2 days before or after.
No, we've got Motley Crue concert. Is it after the party?
Yeah, we're going to have Steve Vai, Tommy Lee. Oh, my God.
Tommy Lee, and then we've got Def Leppard on top of that. Pour some shit on me, baby.
There'll be boats and cannolis.
Oh, mate. We'll be going off like a Stromboli, don't worry. The Derby de... Is it Mole?
Derby delle Mole.
So, it was a 2-0 win to Juventus. The cat, Gatti, 47th, and the milkman.
Delivered.
He delivered.
Yeah, man, cats and milk. Cats and milk. They go together.
There you go, lick him, baby. Lick the milk.
They either go together very well or they spew.
Or they chuck sideways. So we had a 2-0 win. And we're sitting in third? Fourth. Yep. Fourth or third?
No,
third.
We're equal with Fiorentina, but we're still third, technically. Yes.
And we'll talk about that later on the show, about Artur.
Artur, my God.
Guys, can I just make a quick start to this talking about the game? Because being away and watching them and listening to a lot of the team media and stuff like that, first thing, there's some Italian sports programs that I watched that protect Allegri. Because he was on there when he wasn't coaching, if you recall.
Yes, he was a pundit.
So there was certain sports programs that protect him. I was dumbfounded because I thought, hang on, his style is... We know he hasn't got a plan B.
No.
So really he was protected on certain programs.
Plan A.
And also too, I think we've got Max Allegri Mark 2.0, and this season for me, at the moment, I don't think we should be where we should be.
Mm. Yeah. Actually, can you expand? That's a really good topic that you've hit on. We only get so much here. Mm. Can you expand on that a bit? What's the feeling at the moment in Italy generally about Juventus, the team, the performance, particularly in comparison to, say, their recent history, i.e. 9 league titles on the trot, 2011 to 2019 inclusive, and Allegri as a manager. We have our views, but you were obviously a lot closer to it. Can you unpack that for us a little, please?
All right, give you examples. So the papers, for instance, as we know, it's Juventus sells papers. So everything that you read on the covers is basically everything's negative. Negative meaning players aren't playing for the club, or there's infighting, all this kind of stuff.
Mm. At Juventus.
But then also to now, because of Pogba, that's pretty much on the front covers.
Front and centre.
Yep.
But jeez, poor Pogba would hate that, wouldn't he?
Well, I think he's
every paper's himself. Got a link to his Instagram.
But they talk more about the other clubs. Juventus for them is a what do you call it?
Scapegoat.
You know, they want to kick the boots into them. Mm. I think it's Tutto Sport. It's the only really one, which is the Torino.
Which is a Torino
that talks
paper,
proper, football, basically. With all the rest, because I said they're the sport, I can wipe that with my ass, basically, because that's the type of paper they are. But they're really critical of Juventus.
In case you don't have your bidet.
No, it's just, mate, it's ridiculous. But in saying that, guys, talking to Juventus fans over there, and Sicily's got massive following of Juventus. Huge. They're like us. We're frustrated. Mm, they're frustrated. They're frustrated with the style we play. They can't understand how Chiesa and a player like Vlahovic and are not scoring more often.
Underperforming.
And then having players like, for instance, Sandro playing.
They're bewildered why he's still playing.
They don't understand why he's still in the squad and stuff like that. Yeah. And also younger players not playing too. So they're what we're thinking here, they're thinking over there. They talk about the same topics all the time. They flog a dead horse. Yeah. So they keep on going back to things that have happened 2-3 years ago.
Wow.
And the actual sports commentators on TV, it's everything's related to scandal.
Mm-mm.
They're talking about... The Pazura, whatever, the money and all that kind of stuff. They're talking about Andrea, what's happened with him. They're still going back on things.
Yeah.
But they'll conveniently, some of them anyway, overlook criticizing Max.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because if you got...
They reckon he's doing a good job.
10 Juve supporters. When you saw a few games with a few different clubs.
Yep.
Let's say there was 20 supporters at any given time watching a game.
Yep.
Is it fair to say 15, 16 of them, say 80% would have been like us, Allegri out?
I can sum it up with this. Every third word that came out of their mouth was fanculo.
When referring to him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They were about to throw things at the TV screen, they could.
I won't maybe translate they just what fanculo means, but just...
No, just pure frustration.
Wow.
Maybe they're doing... Like, it's weird because you go, okay, they'll give it to the players, but maybe they're doing that because they want Allegri to stay, so we stay down.
Jeez, I don't...
You don't think so?
No. I don't like that, and I don't like it.
But I'm sure they're enjoying the fact that we're not doing well.
But I never really understood that. But it's true. What you're saying is probably true.
If you get more heat in the papers...
It sells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, too, there's a big thing with the VAR. A lot of Juve fans over there, they just cringe. Mm. Once it gets referred or whatever, they're like us. They go, here we go again, here we go again.
But apparently we get all the good, easy calls our way.
That's rubbish. Yeah. But, I think they're looking forward, like us, to seeing another coach in the future. I think, guys, what I'm seeing is the same stuff, just packaged up in a different way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all it is, so yeah.
Absolutely.
So, in saying that, yeah.
Thanks for that. We should go back to the derby.
Yep.
Who
wants to start? What do you want to talk about?
Well...
Who did you like? Who did you not like? Are we progressing or not?
Well, for me, I'll start negative and then end somewhat positive. But I'll start with a rhetorical question.
Mm. Go for it.
What's the definition of insanity?
Max?
You know that phrase?
Yeah, yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yep.
We all know that Fabio Miretti is not a seconda punta.
No, he's not
a second striker.
No.
He's lost at the best of times, unfortunately.
Ship without rudder.
And yet he's going to be a ship without rudder when you put him behind a striker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yet Max did that again on Saturday night, Italy time, Sunday morning our time. Clearly didn't work. Credit to him, though. Mm. He realised that, and he realised it pretty early in the change rooms at halftime.
Yeah.
Miretti didn't walk out at the beginning of the second half. Milik did, and the game looked and the team looked quite different immediately thereafter.
Yeah.
Because Keane, that has a flow-on effect. It meant that Keane, in the first half, was playing as the out-and-out striker. He's not that. Miretti's obviously not a seconda punta. But by throwing Milik on in place of Miretti, Keane became the support striker. He came into the game more, looked better. Not that that's really difficult for Moise Keane, facts are facts. Mind you, he did score a cracking goal in the first half, albeit offside. So, look, credit where it's due. The second half was positive, but we're playing Torino. They were without a number of key players. They registered their first shot on goal in the 85th minute. Why is it that we played at home on the defence again, playing not to lose?
That's something that really annoys me too, guys. The game, especially against Atalanta, but yeah, you're right. Mm. I just don't understand.
Yeah. What I really didn't understand too was the fact that why would you put Miretti on in a position he doesn't play over a striker who ended up playing the second half? If you're going to do that, you put Milik on in the first half because it's a lot easier to win a game when you've got a goal instead of what happens if Torino had a good first half and they scored one or two goals and then we're up against like, oh yeah, we'll settle for a draw. Right? That's where it should be. If Milik and Keane don't work, then you go and say, okay, we'll chuck Miretti on. Or why was Yildiz not...
I thought he was going to play.
Some sections of the press were saying Yildiz would have started in that very spot. in the number 10, 9.5, call it what you want role. I looked at that and I thought, I wish. That's just...
You would never do
paper
it.
Paper selling papers. It.
Yeah.
It would never happen. But we saw from Yildiz in that 7-8 minute cameo more than we saw from Miretti in the first 45. And the bloody irony, excuse my French, is Allegri came out yesterday / this morning and heaped praise on Yildiz and said, oh, every time he touches the ball, he just looks so composed and calm. Well,
Play him. Yeah.
Why?
And there's no excuse
why
right now
in
because.
Why pocket and then only fielding for 10 minutes when the game's
no,
put
you're right.
Bed.
You have two strikers.
Yeah.
And one, and then you're putting a midfielder in the position of a striker when you've got one on the bench who's a couple years younger.
And we've got a player who's technically on loan who's killing it at the moment. So. And we've been saying last season it would be great to see him a bit more, and he's doing the same thing at the moment with Yildiz. Yildiz has got so much potential that it's not funny.
Yeah. Yildiz could go the way of Sule. What if I've just mentioned Sule. Yildiz could get frustrated and leave.
It is stupid.
I don't understand why he got loaned out when you've got a guy like Vlahovic who's had an injury and Chiesa, he should have just been left as a backup and he would have been playing
but that's
in these
what,
games.
That's what they originally was the thinking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Last
and
season,
Di Maria was there to
progress his...
Mentor him.
And then they say, oh, you know, I think we'll see you off. Well, there was no takers. Feyenoord was the only team interested in that, and then we loaned him out. Now they're saying, oh, we might extend his contract for another year. That gives me the idea that they just want to keep the selling. Which I think is so wrong because that guy at the moment is killing it. He'll kill it. I reckon, I'll make a prediction, by the end of the season, he'll be in double figures scoring goals.
I think I'll go one further.
Yep.
Double figures for goals
and assists. Yes.
He's doing
you
very
can just
well
already
for
see
Frosinone. And he's getting more and more confident.
And to me, it says a lot about the coach.
Yes.
The coach, and this is for Jolly as well. I'll talk about for Jolly. I don't think Max is good for the younger players to progress in the team. Straightforward.
I think we need a coach that actually can progress
a lot of these players to go further in the career. He's not. Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I just don't feel comfortable. Looking for Jolly, maybe confidence, but I know he was injured at the start. I don't know. I just don't like what he does to the younger players.
It's bewildering because Fagioli was, well, he was Serie A young player of the season last season.
Yep.
He's not playing much, if at all, under Max at the moment. Didn't even come on as a sub. McKennie started in midfield, which was a bit of a head scratcher. Nice to see Weah start, but McKennie was doing probably enough in the right wing back slot, and Fagioli, I think we said it when we did our Facebook lives, when Miretti was starting a few games ahead of Fagioli, and then Fagioli was coming on as a second half sub, you could see the difference.
Yeah,
why didn't he see any game time at all here? It's and Illing Jr.
Yeah. Oh mate, don't give me start.
Illing
no,
Jr.
That's another thing too. That's it's frustrating and. Why isn't he doing that? Why doesn't he play these players, mate? Why? You just don't have enough confidence and faith in them? Mate, they're proven. You need to play them. If you're not going to play them, you've got to sell them.
Yeah.
That's what Juventus does.
Just one final note. We saw some positivity very early on at the very beginning of the season. Two games immediately come to mind. Udinese and Lazio, where we saw a high press, high tempo.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that that is now dead and buried and we are regressing to the mean, i.e. going to...
I reckon we revert him back to old ways.
Yeah, old ways, yeah.
Because it is good when it works, but when it doesn't work, it's terrible. It's reverting back to old ways.
Boring.
Yeah.
It'll isolate Vlahovic and Chiesa, not bring out their best football.
What's the best... When Juventus looks good is when they're attacking, yeah? When that midfield... is doing their part.
Yep.
And then you've got Chiesa and Vlahovic, which I think, if you look on all the top teams in Europe, on paper, those two players should be killing it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, okay, Vlahovic injured,
They have been doing well, though. They have been doing well. They just, I think we expect more of them. But again, the structure of how we play, we haven't done it. We've had glimpses of it this year.
I'm afraid that we will soon be saying they were doing well. Because if we continue regressing to the mean, going back to negative, conservative, play not to lose, you're going to isolate Vlahovic and Chiesa, and we will start to be critical of them, but then we'll have to hold on, pull ourselves up and say, is it them or is it the system?
And do you know what another thing is too, guys? It's international break. We don't play well after a break.
Oh, and who do we play after the break?
We've got AC Milan away. For me, this game coming up, the next one, is a 6-pointer, not a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
He's massive.
Also, they also don't have Hernandez and...
Yeah, they've got two players out.
Goalkeeper out because they both suspended.
Yeah.
So lost their other keeper too, so Drew made a crucial save.
He did.
Yeah. They were going to pick Pulisic, but he was too short.
Was that a handball?
Pulisic is doing wonders for them. He scored more goals this season for Milan than he did
at Chelsea?
Last two seasons or something for Chelsea.
And did you see the handball?
Yes.
You sure he wasn't playing basketball for the NBA teams or something? What's going on? That? But honest truth is this, that game's going to say a lot,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
Because we got Milan, and I think we got Verona, Milan, Verona, and is it Inter or we got one up? No.
Inter's
around the mark as well.
End of November. I think the 26th.
Okay. So there is a couple good games, ripper games for us.
Yeah.
But it's going to say a lot where we're going to sit before Christmas.
Of course.
Now, I predict around 4th, and hopefully I'm wrong. But,
teams below us are doing quite well.
Well, there's been some interesting teams.
Yeah. This week.
Yeah.
There was a bit of a drop-off, which was good. Atalanta lost to Lazio. And Napoli lost and Inter drew. So it was actually a really good week for us, even better week for Milan.
Yeah.
But I feel that we should at least be on 19 points. I think one of the draws that we've had...
Yeah, shouldn't be a draw.
We're going to always say both of them shouldn't be, but let's just say that the other draw was Bologna.
Mm.
Bologna's doing quite well.
If you
actually look at their goal,
they actually are playing well.
They're actually defensively. Ossolini's
killing it.
Yeah. Former Juventus player,
mate. Yeah. Seen another one.
Yeah. Mm.
He was killing. I watched that game. It was freaking good, mate.
But I think their defensive goals are 6, just like ours.
Yeah.
They just haven't kicked as many as us. I think they've kicked 8, whereas we've kicked 14. But again, that's okay. You do that one, but the Atalanta one, I think we should.
I think Atalanta one was the biggest. Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
So I think we should be on 19. We should be equal with Inter.
Yeah,
right
for
now.
Sure, for sure. In saying that, okay, let's go to the awards. So the ADP award. Who would like to go first?
Yeah, it was there were some players that played really well. For me, I think. I really want to pick Locatelli in this one because I thought he played really good, but I'm going to have to give it to Gatti on this one.
Gatti? Okay.
Because I think Gatti's the defensive and attacking for me was a bit better than Locatelli. Not Locatelli's fault, obviously because of his position, but when Gatti would go up, Locatelli was staying in his spot.
Yeah.
So
lots of like
that happened
Gatti.
A lot, and therefore I will give it to Gatti scoring the goal. Could have scored another goal. Was very hungry, and I thought he played really well.
Mark,
you mentioned there were a lot of good players.
McKennie played really good.
There were a number.
Where as the game at the start, he was a bit shaky, and I was starting to go, in those parts. It was like, this is where Cuadrado did well.
Yeah.
He would be more of an attacking player. Where was kind of doing the pass backs, the bad side of Cuadrado. But as the game went on, his athleticism was fantastic.
Yeah.
He was... The thing I love about soccer is even if you're not scoring goals or creating chances, Where was running inside. He was cutting in.
Yeah.
He was causing the other team to foul, taking up precious minutes of the game. And to me, that is sometimes just as good as a goal. So I thought he played really well. McKennie played well. Kostic played well.
Oh, exactly.
Keane played better than he usually does.
Milik was very good.
But yeah, Rabiot still a bit average. Played better than he has recently. He got a couple of good contested possessions.
Yeah,
Torino knocked us off the ball so many times, and Meretti was one of those guys. But we'll get into that.
I think we're going to get into that together.
But even like Fagioli and that, getting knocked off the ball very easily.
I'm gonna sit on the fence here before finally jumping off it. God, this was really difficult for me.
Really, okay.
Kostic, 6 key passes. So I'm not saying Kostic, but I'm gonna whittle it down.
Not bad for a guy that was supposed to be injured and not play.
Kostic should have had a really good assist. That was in between a shot and an assist and a cross. But he had, there were chances where I think we definitely could have got a third goal in this game.
I agree, but. You know, one of the players I was thinking of was Kostic. Why? 6 key passes, got the assist on Milik's goal, found the mark on 5 of the 11 crosses.
Mm-hmm.
He delivered, but not him. Danilo, he was brilliant. 2 tackles, 2 interceptions, 3 clearances. He was everywhere.
Yep.
He also contributed to the offensive game. He got credit for 4 long key passes. This showed me why he deserves the captain's armband.
Yep.
Bremer, he was also very excellent.
Bremer's
he looked Chiellini like after crashing down to earth.
He was
a darker version.
We're going to go another step up. He was the Brazilian Nelly. You know, the rapper Nelly. because instead of the white bandage that Chiellini's famous for, he had the black. Latex. It looked latex.
It did look like a condom on his head.
It was a latex.
I was actually thinking condom.
Latex do-rag. Like Nelly.
He had
the Italian version of a Nelly Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Which was about 4 times thicker than what Nelly normally has.
It was. Very well.
He was brilliant. Yeah? He walked off after 90 minutes.
Yeah.
About 90 kilos heavier.
I'm going to call him Nella.
Nella. Nella. Like Nutella? Nella. Yeah.
Nella.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's what he was.
But for
he was great.
For me, my B.O.G., or Alessandro Del Piero, goes to Gatti. He was persistent when scoring that goal. Excellent in defence.
Gattinho.
2 tackles, game high, 5 clearances. Came close to getting a second goal.
Yep.
He was very, very confident. Mm. And on that confidence point, I think he's put Sassuolo performance only a few short weeks ago.
Yeah.
Behind him.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I'll
just make one quick other special mention to him. When he went up to the Curva, mate, to me, he's becoming a bit of a cult leader.
We need 11 Gattis, mate. Because
one or two more and we're on the right path.
I feel that we, again, one thing that Allegri needs to get out of our players is the Torino game was a great example. Our players were getting taken off the ball way too easy. And it wasn't just Meretti. It was other players too. And that's one thing we need to... I think we need to... and again, that's... You think being a defensive team, you would learn that, but we're not having
seen
it.
That so way.
I'm going to go for Bremer.
Yeah, Bremer was
Bremer
great
for
too.
Me.
He was good.
I like a man that's been through the wars.
You like the do-rag?
He looked like he's just played a part in the expendable number 4.
The old Johnson and Johnson bandage
with Sylvester Stallone and Dolph Lundgren or whatever. And so, all right, Amari.
Yeah, Amari Award definitely goes to Meretti. There was no one close to him.
Yep.
I understand he was out of his position, but the problem is with... He was one of the main players that was getting dispossessed off the ball very easily. Didn't losing the ball and not getting it back. He honestly looks like he is gassed after 10 minutes.
Should be loaned out.
Definitely. Like I think he's had a really good opportunity as well. He's had a lot of opportunities
a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting better. I actually think he's getting worse.
I think he's regressing. That's where I'm going as well. He looked lost. Unfortunately, he was playing out of position again. So, a lot of blame should go to the coach. Mm.
But as a striker, you're not running as much.
Yeah.
So there's no actual excuse.
Yeah.
So if that's going to happen while you're a striker, we obviously don't want to see more of it in the midfield. He needs time. I still feel he's a good player, but right now he doesn't look like a Juventus player for me.
Exactly, and this is where, for me, it's a bad management decision. Management being two levels of management. The club for not loaning him out to get his confidence up, and man management, Allegri, for seeing him not being at his best and being far from his best since probably about April. But then playing him in a position which is foreign to him. So you're just shooting his non-existent confidence even further. Ricardo.
Me. Now, he needs to go on loan. Moretti.
I feel
he should have been on loan to start his season.
I think he should have been on loan before he even became a player. We're not saying it because we've seen what he's like.
He's got a lot of potential, but the thing is, he needs that year away from the club at another team, if it's Serie A or Serie B, just to get the experience and come back and say, you know what, I've had my time, now's my time to step forward. Yeah. Because that's what Ravello, before he left, and a couple other players, but Bonaccetto now is at Frosinone.
Fagioli.
Soler. Does not hurt. So, in saying that, guys, I will have to put into the next segment.
So Mark. You're picking Moretti?
Yep, Moretti is for me. Okay. Question about that is, I think it's Mark's turn to hit the airwaves.
Okay. Slave to the grind.
It's Mark's question without notice.
Good song, good album. By none other than Skid Row. Jeez, you're giving me a question without notice.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
I wasn't expecting it to come that quick, but
go for
I see that we are well into it.
I can give you some time. First metal album to ever debut at number one on the charts.
Oh, metal?
Or hard rock?
Hard rock.
Metal.
Metal.
To debut at number one.
Skid Row.
Nah.
Yeah.
Was it this?
Yeah.
I'd say this is hard rock. Or were they bordering into metal by then?
Still can still consider... Like, it is hard rock, but they still kind of put it on the metal charts.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it hit number one, because this was around the same time as Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Well, but
from what I've read, it's metal.
Here's another one. You know, Monkey Business was going to be the lead song to Terminator 2. But
really?
For some reason, they ditched it and went with You Could Be Mine. Mm-hmm. And look at what it did for Guns N' Roses.
Boom, that's your week in rock.
They were already.
That's your week in rock on the three Juventinos.
Yeah, they were already.
Mark?
Probably wouldn't have done much to them because they got really popular. And then after that, it was all over.
Just a quick last mention in the week in rock. It was Eddie Van Halen's third year that he's passed away to this world. And... My guitar still weeps.
Nicely said.
There you go. Mark.
Okay, question without notice. I'm moving away from Juventus. I'm not going to go to Who Am I?
We've moved away from Juventus a fair bit.
Let's go.
Ricardo's
food porn in Lipari.
Ricardo's postcards.
But still on the subject of football. I want to get a little bit personal.
Go for it.
With you guys.
You jealous because of the cannolis I sent you?
Has this one been in the back of your pocket because you didn't know what to say and then all of a sudden it was like, this is my ace up my sleeve?
Yeah, pretty much.
Go for it.
What made you or who made you get into football or soccer? Was it, did you used to play?
Yeah.
Was it dad, uncle, brother? Go for it. What made you get into it? Football or soccer is obviously...
Nah, it's the world games, football.
Your favourite
soccer's
sport.
American term, yeah.
Why do you love it and follow it so much?
I think it's more the suspense and watching that goal be cracked in the back of the net.
Where did you know that from a young age, though? Because you've clearly been following it for years.
I basically could say... okay, why I got into it and why I love it is because I went and watched Juventus
84
when
MCG.
I was a kid, at MCG, and seeing all the crowd just lose their shit, and that's the older generation of Aussie Italians and all the other Greeks or whatever Aussies as we are a multicultural society here in Melbourne, Australia, or in Australia, that's what really drove me to push it. And then, you know, the Rossies and the Platinis after that.
Yep. Yep. And you were about 7, 8 years old at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your formative years.
Yep. Mm. Anth?
For me, soccer and American basketball are on the same type of level of how I got into them. With, like, Aussie rules football and cricket, they were because of my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But soccer, we'll just talk about soccer, not the basketball. I didn't come from a family that, you know, my dad or my mum didn't like soccer.
Mm.
My brothers didn't like soccer. They liked AFL and cricket and wrestling and stuff like that. I had no influences from friends back then.
No.
I basically just... It was one of those things where I got into AFL first and then I was like, oh, you know, I loved sports. So I was like, I liked AFL, I liked cricket and all that. And then for me, it was just like... It was literally SBS. So... It was so it was SBS.
5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Sunday. No.
Was it Les?
Yeah,
you're a bit older. Younger, I should say. Yeah.
So I was a bit later on. So for me, it was...
Les Murray was a legend, mate.
Yeah.
He was.
He loved it.
For me, it was just going out and watching soccer on my own. I had my brother-in-law went for AC Milan and tried persuading me to be an AC Milan fan. And that was like, you know, we're going kind of their heyday, like mid-90s.
Mm, yeah.
When they were pretty huge. He was going over and he was showing me Milan songs and I think he was doing everything he wanted to try and do. Funny thing is with AFL and soccer, I rebelled against two different people. So my brother I rebelled against with Collingwood. In the AFL, and I went for Essendon, and then with him, I went against Milan. It's funny because I actually always wish I followed someone that got me into it, but just for me, it was it was, yeah. Just for me, it was, I kind of just found it my own way, and that's why I kind of missed out a lot of the heyday of Juventus's Champions League. I actually really started following him after that, but the biggest key is not just me doing it myself. The biggest key for me was watching Del Piero play. There was no one else. There was not Baggio, because Baggio was before my time.
That'd be
Del Piero was kind of peaking at the time I started watching him.
Mm.
But I did go back to the really good stuff. And that for me, it was him.
Yep.
And I did love, like, I also loved Christian Vieri, but he wasn't playing for Juventus at the time. Christian Vieri was like the Italy god, and then Del Piero was that, and then they combined in 98. And 97, 98 was where I really...
Not that 98 World Cup team.
That was phenomenal.
We got robbed in that World Cup. That to me, that... we got robbed.
When we lost to France? Or are you talking about 2002? That was...
Between 98 and 2002, we were robbed. Yeah. 2002 more than 98. 98 was a good team.
It was a great team.
But also, that was, you know, the biggest downfall of it too is we never got to see Del Piero and Baggio play together. And that, I think that was, you know, I'm not saying it would have worked guaranteed, but to me, they're the two best players. Along with Vieri... Could have really worked
well. The Tournoi de France in 98 before the World Cup.
97.
Yeah. Yes. The game against Brazil, if you get to watch it on YouTube.
That is a phenomenal
game. Go and watch that game. That game between Del Piero and Vieri, that whole team was awesome. Mm-hmm.
We were 3-1 up against Brazil and they came back 3-3. Danielson killed it. Vieri killed it. Del Piero. It was such
one of the best games you ever see.
Open, beautiful game to watch.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Mark. Go for it. Which,
why? So I really wanted to play soccer or football.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I couldn't. And I was somewhat forced, but I'm being arrogant, or not arrogant, sarcastic, to watch my brother play every single Sunday for 7 years. I couldn't play as a child, even though I really wanted to. I had asthma. I got diagnosed with asthma from a very young age. And asthma back then...
Yeah.
Don't want to be overly dramatic, but it wasn't what it is today. It was kind of new. The science wasn't advanced. Mm. So everyone, including medical staff, were very reluctant about pushing boys or girls into sport and so on and so forth. So, you know, sport got a bit, sport, especially soccer, but any form of sport essentially got a big cross against it as when it came to Mark Fiorenti. So I essentially became a spectator of soccer. You know, I watched the 82 World Cup and was watching the TV, Paolo Rossi, and I knew back then it's not going to be me. Maybe I don't have the talent, but it's certainly not going to be me because of this condition I have. 84 with Juventus, and then watching my brother, as I say, just about every single Sunday for 7 years. But the silver lining in all that is that by being such an avid follower, years later, it had its hidden blessings, because two or so decades later, I was on radio, I was on a TV show called The Green Gully Show on Channel 31, not that that exists anymore, and I'm doing this with two great guys every Monday night.
Is that Century Gully? Green Gully?
Yeah. Green Gully in Sunshine.
Yeah.
So... The message in that, I guess, for anyone listening is, if you think you're hard done by, look for hidden blessings, because I'd have it no other way.
Can I just quickly back to what you just set up? Because, like, I went from, you know, as you guys know, I'm not a hardcore Juventus fan, which is beyond probably the bullshit that I just said.
Ricardo's but getaways.
Yeah, just come to see the monument I've got at my place regarding Juventus and jerseys that go back nearly 30 years or something. But, no, I went from being a fan of a club, which started 10 years ago, to being... like running the club with you guys. Mm-hmm. So, I count my blessings and always am appreciative of the people I've met and who are my friends. I call them my friends today. And, I could vouch for
it. Also what you make about it too. Like, I get it. You know, going back to like AFL, like I love AFL, but I know that there's supporters out there that are more crazy than I am.
Mm.
Okay. And we see that too in our club, where we are probably some of the craziest that you'll get in Melbourne, because we're watching them at crazy times and feeling hungover for the rest of the day. And then, you know, performances by our team dictate what we're like for a day or two, or for in some cases a week.
Our emotional mental state.
So, like, how I look at it is, it's like it just, it also comes up to what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because sport is a prick of a thing. Like, we all know it.
Mm.
So you either just follow it without getting... like, being attached, but not too attached. Or you go the next step. Or you're like a casual person who just likes watching it on TV, just but will never go.
Bandwagon supporter.
Yeah, no, not bandwagon. Just like... you know, like my brother follows AFL, for example, but he doesn't really go to many games. That doesn't mean he's not a supporter. He's just on a different level.
Yes.
You know, for him, he enjoys watching it at home.
I love the Melbourne Storm.
That like going games. And then there's people who are like, no, I'm going to every game, and when I can, I'll go interstate. There's all different levels.
And
so,
it will affect your mental, emotional state without being able to
Juventus
dramatic, they play.
Yeah, and I get some people don't want to go too full on. And then there's also other people who follow a lot of sports. See, for me, I don't have enough time. I had a discussion the other week with my friend who follows a couple more sports. So he goes for AC Milan, he follows AFL, he follows that. But then he watches, like, everything else. Mm. You know, like American football and hockey and a bit of NRL. And he's like, why don't you just watch another sport? And I'm like, the level of the support I want to give is not... I can't do it.
I actually can say to you guys...
Do you know what I'm saying? I just can't do it.
Do you know, Juventus also for me... I went through a really bad period, probably...
Del Nerdy?
No, I went through a really bad period in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, for me, Juventus actually helped me a lot to recover from, you know, what I was going through.
Yeah.
So
I'm the complete opposite. Yeah. I came in later on through some hard times at Juventus.
Yeah.
So it actually put me in a relapse. Of sport.
But do you know what? When were we actually demoted to Serie B?
And then it went up and now it's down.
Serie B for me, because like a lot of my other friends would say, like, they're not passionate like we are with Juventus. Mm. They go, what's wrong with you? And I said, you don't understand.
Yeah.
That's why she's the old lady and she's like a marriage, yeah? Like, that's what Del Piero, I always take to my grave what he said, yeah?
Mm.
You can't leave your old lady.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because... No. But yeah, and in saying that, Ants.
Yeah, it's been
five. Maybe.
It's been 6 weeks since
How many weeks?
6 weeks since we were all together because Mark and I did five shows.
Damn.
Oh, see, that's how rusty I am. I thought it was the end of the show.
No, it's Anthony's advice of the week.
Yeah. Pretty simple one this week.
Go for it.
It does another time-sensitive one.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it a lot while I was watching the Torino game. I watched the replay, I'm going to be honest with you. I watched it with my son because he can't get up at 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched it together. And I've talked about it before, but this advice goes out to Allegri again. We've said many times, see... I don't think he's found the right... We talk about early on, you got to play the young kids because they've been doing well.
Yep.
But now he's playing them at the wrong times. We were talking about it before with Yildiz, why Meretti's playing in a different position. Fagioli needs to start games maybe. I know he's maybe not... At the moment, we're thinking he's not good enough. But he needs to come on when there's no... When just fresh,
yeah,
get him out there,
yeah,
go as hard as you can. What I'm trying to say is, Allegri needs to realize that he's also stuffing players up,
yeah,
by not playing them at the right times,
yep,
sacrificing them at the wrong times,
yeah, I agree.
And he's done that with Meretti, putting him in a different position,
yep.
My advice for the week basically is Allegri should go and look at other teams. It's not hard. Go and look at another team and see how they put their young players in.
Yeah.
Not just in Italy. Everywhere.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, at some point, he's got to realise that he needs to evolve. That's my advice of the week. Because we're still not doing well and we're only playing once a week.
And that advice is very good advice. So, Max, if you're listening, take the mixed Maxes... And show them where the sun doesn't shine.
Well, to put it another way, if it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Mm. But if it is, F and fix it.
Yeah,
so
don't take two and a bit seasons.
We'll do three here. Oh, can't wait, Ben. Molly Crew's coming out, Ben. Please, Vince, hold the voice together, please. Because I'm going to lose my shit. You know, it's gonna, man, I'll tell you, we got a big week and a half, mate. It's gonna just go nuts. Oh, yeah.
I don't drink at concerts much, but I definitely will be at that one.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of Def Leppard, too.
It's a nostalgia gig, this one. It's starting to become a nostalgia thing.
It's Return of Ricardo's Rants. And this goes out to, I've got two in this rant. First rant goes out to Juventus and Paul Pogba. I think Juventus should give a refund for all the jerseys
number 10
that people have bought Pogba.
Yep.
That's my first rant. They should give a refund because now we know, as we know, the second test came back positive, and yeah,
and I think his challenge came back. Positive.
I don't think he's got a leg to stand on now. No, I don't think there shouldn't be any court or deals or whatever. He should literally just go into the club and put a resignation.
Yeah. Terminate my contract. I love the club. If he was not all about himself and loved the club as he professes he does, he'd swallow his pride, go into the board and say, you know what?
Yeah.
Rip up my contract.
I'll it's a lot of money. Save the cash.
You know
save
what?
The cash. 30-odd million over
easy.
The next two,
you know,
years.
Easy.
You know
what? Years remaining on his contract.
I don't want to cut into your rant, but I'll probably talk about it after.
I'm on edge the second part. Yeah. Go for it.
Honestly, how silly can you be where a club has just... They've already been in another scandal.
Yep.
You should never be taking drugs in sport. But if there's any time that you shouldn't, the only other worst thing could have been is if we actually were going through a drug scandal. Why would he go and take drugs at a time when we're literally nearly getting kicked on the ground?
And you know what the lucky we've about this, guys? He goes to America, with the team, okay? Which I thought he was going to stay, but he ended up going. He takes it over there when he's in America. He's in the worst country in the world to take drugs when Italy is numero uno in tutto mondo, to the whole world in drug testing. Okay? In saying that, he's done nothing for Juventus since his return.
No, he hasn't.
He's selfish. He never took the operation when he was advised, and this is what's become. My second part to this rant is, goes to the owners. Thank you for letting the Ultras and Cordova come back into the stadium. They should never, ever have taken them away from the stadium. And they have basically got egg in their face, because I tell you what, they would have sold out stadiums even though Juventus wasn't doing well. They'll still come.
Absolutely.
Okay, for the atmosphere. Second thing is, to watch Juventus at a game in the stadium and not make enough noise when you've got away supporters making noise, there's a problem. The owners are selfish. If the owners don't want to accommodate, sell the club.
You're right.
Sorry, I know it's 100-year whatever, sell the club. Okay? We're not rich spot specials, you know, for other teams to pick players from us. And that's where I'll leave it.
And give us their crap.
That's it. So that was my rant of the week.
Fantastic. Good way to end the
show. No, it is what it is.
Let's do a Paul Stanley at the AFL Grand Final and start breaking equipment.
What?
Paul Stanley. Who's broke Paul Stanley? His guitar.
Did he?
From Kiss.
Don't get me started on Kiss, mate, because Gene Simmons tried to steal Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
From Van Halen.
Let's not get into
that. We won't get into that.
We're talking about Smash.
I thought they retired about 10 years ago, but anyway, they're still going. What tour is this? Is this comeback number 10, 125? Sorry, but I reckon Kiss's best concert would have been early 2000s.
Even like late 90s when
it was great.
You're right.
Alive 3 came out, then I said that was sick, but then after that,
I saw him in 96, I think it was, with Ace Frehley, with the makeup tour and so forth.
That was great.
With Ace, that was good. But that was it was nearly 30 years ago. These guys are in their late 70s.
Yeah, but you know the thing is, when you flog a dead horse, there's only so many times you can flog a dead horse.
People keep going.
They still sell out, man.
Yeah, exactly. I know,
but you know what it is?
Still talking about their,
it's like moccasins, right? You know Moccos? Remember the Moccos? You ask any Collingwood supporter in Australia, ask him about the Mocco and the two front teeth and their sisters and their brothers and their dogs and their,
Hey, just be easy on the Collingwood supporters.
Don't even go there, mate.
They're up and about. Anyway.
Okay. In saying that, guys, we've come to the end of our show.
We have.
Podcast is back after 6 weeks. Five, six weeks.
Man,
it feels like I'm rusty. You know what?
Maybe it's just the feeling.
Like a croissant.
Maybe it's just the... I was just going to say, maybe it's just all those cornettis that you ate.
Is it a crema?
You can catch us on...
Go for it.
Anchor, Spotify.
Bang.
Podbean.
Boom, boom.
Apple.
Boom.
iHeart.
Boom.
And
Google,
yeah.
And iHeartRadio?
I said iHeart. They're the five. And you can jump on our social media on Facebook, Three Juventinos, and JCD on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
And,
So, we're going to be reviewing next podcast, the AC Milan game. And we'll talk about
preview.
And we'll also preview the Italy game too. I think we should do that, because it's pretty important for the Azzurri. And big couple of weeks coming up for the club, 10th anniversary. So we're going to do probably a podcast, I reckon, when we're down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we might do a bit of a live on the Facebook live at the party.
We should.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
We should.
We might want to do that earlier in the day. Earlier in the weekend.
And there is a surprise. So if it pays off.
If it pays off.
And in saying that, you've been listening to the Three Juventinos.